This is a Hipsters of the Coast podcast. This Doom Travelers podcast is brought to you by Hipsters of the Coast, your destination for magic news, strategy, and entertainment. And by Casthaven, where you can build your magic collection like a pro. Visit casthaven.com for more information.
Alright, welcome to another episode of Doom Travelers, where we talk about magic and try to play Destiny. I'm your host, Rich Stein, joined this week, as always, with Dave McCoy. And our special guest again, Brendan McNamara, who's filling in for Matt Jones while he's making art in Paris. Matt was too busy to say anything to anyone this week except how excited he is to go to the Pro Tour in Brussels next week, where he'll be hanging out with all of the fancy people. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about some of those fancy people this week on the topic of Pro Tour teams. You know them, you love them. You might hate them if they have players you don't like. But teams have become an integral part of Pro Tour coverage, and more importantly, part of the Pro Tour preparation process. So introduce my guests. We'll ask each of you, what is your favorite part of the Pro Tour teams, following the Pro Tour teams, or what is your favorite team to follow? So, Brendan, let's start with you.
All right. So, I think that the growth of teams has really helped the Pro Tour. Partly just because, you know, you can pick a team and root for it and kind of get to know those players. And say, say you want to follow Channel Fireball Pantheon, you know, at least one or two people on their team are going to be relevant probably all the way through to the end of the tournament. And often someone will make the top eight. But even not, like, if you follow their team, you're going to have someone to be interested in for most of the Pro Tour coverage, and you can watch both days and also the top eight. And that, I think that's really helped a lot. And it also helps with Constructed because they generally will play the same deck or a couple decks, and everyone will know once the tournament gets going what that deck is, and so you can, it gives a little more coherence to how you follow it.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great tool for driving the coverage narrative. So Dave McCoy, how do you feel about the teams, and or what is your favorite team?
I'm a fan of the teams for sure. I think it introduces a lot of positives and a lot of just generally interesting things to the Pro Tour scene that is very consumer friendly. But as for my favorite team, I would have to probably say Original Channel Fireball. When I first started watching Magic, I thought David Ochoa was probably one of the most interesting, weird people that ever made it on camera at a Magic tournament. And he's kind of disappeared, unfortunately. He hasn't been very successful lately. But I have a soft spot in my heart for the foodie that is David Ochoa.
Yeah, David Ochoa is actually, we'll mention him in a bit, has been might be making a return to Team Channel Fireball. I'm a huge fan of teams. I think that, like any great competition, you drive up the value by having teams to prepare with, to practice with, and to compete with. And like you guys said, for the fan, the experience with the team is far superior than without. And you see that even in, especially in team games like League of Legends. But you also see it play a really prominent role in things like Hearthstone with the team structure. So there's a lot to be said for teams when it comes to the fan base. My favorite team is Team Revolution, which is the MTG Madness team out of France. And that's Raphael Levy, who's my favorite pro player. And of course, the rest of the French players, Jeremy Desani is on that team. Patrick Dickmann is on that team. And Melissa DeTora was on that team as well before she was hired by Wizards to deprive us all of women on the Pro Tour.
It's an excellent plan.
Yeah, it's working. But regardless, so I want to talk. So before Pro Tour Fate Reforged, Brian David Marshall did a roundup of a bunch of teams and talked about what players were on each team and the shakeups, kind of some shakeups of players moving from team to team. And the teams that he covered in earnest were Team MTG Mint, which is a fantastic all-star collection of players from Southeast Asia. And that team is, the big names on that team are Lee Shi Tian and Nam Sung Wook are both on that team. Those are two names you'll recognize from last year's World Cup and World Championships of Magic. Team Revolution, which I just mentioned, Raphael Levy, Jeremy Desani. Some interesting players also, Brad Nelson, Todd Anderson, and Brian Braun-Duin are listed as members of that team. Of course, those guys were former members of the Star City Games, the now defunct Star City Games team. The Channel Fireball, of course, has two teams. The Pantheon team, which is the Hall of Fame filled John Finkel, Pat Chapin, Huey Jensen, but also Reed Duke, Owen Turtenwald. I could go on Kai Boudé, Jamie Park. It's a massive. This is basically the number one seed. These guys are Kentucky going into the Pro Tour, no doubt. But you know the normal Channel Fireball team is no slouch either. It's Louis Scott Vargas, Paula Vitordama de Rosa, Josh Utter Layton, David Ochoa, Brian Kibler, Shuhei Nakamura, Tom Martel, and on the official list is Paul Cheon, though he did not play at Fate Reforged. We'll see. I believe he's going to be.
He did play.
He did play at Fate Reforged. We'll see. He wasn't on Brian David Marshall's list at Fate Reforged.
It's so because he qualified a week before the tournament,
right?
At GP, the team GP that they had to win.
Oh, right,
San Jose. Yeah. LSVs and Eric Froelich's present to Cheon winning that tournament. So.
Yeah, so do you know if he's qualified for Pro Tour coming up?
I honestly have no idea.
It's a Tark here. We'll have to see if the list is out yet.
Yeah, I think he's qualified for one of the next two, but I'm not sure which one, so probably this one. Like, I think he had a server invite or something.
All right, that would make sense. It'll be good to see him because he is definitely a fan favorite. Moving on, Face-to-Face Games has worked very closely with Channel Fireball in the past. This is Alexander Hain and John Stern's team, made up almost exclusively of Canadian players. Formerly also, Jacob Wilson was a member of that team, but he is now he's a member of the Pantheon. TCG player also has a sponsored team. Captain, or at least the biggest name on the team, is Ari Lox is on that team. Ross Merriam is on that team. Andrew Shrout, Alex Majlaton is on the team. Harry Corvisi and Frank Skarin are some of the big names on the TCG player team. And the relative newcomer from the last Pro Tour, and presumably also at this Pro Tour, is the Ultra Pro team. Which is has a lot of former members of the Channel Fireball teams, which is Ben Stark, Paul Rietzel, Sam Black, Matt Sperling, and also some big names in Bob Maher, who you'll know from your hipster copies of Dark Confidant, and also David Williams of poker playing fame. And that team's list now also includes Craig Wesco, who jumped ship from TCG player, and also Pat Cox and Adrian Sullivan, who write for Star City Games, are on that team's official roster. So those are the big hitters, so to say. I think going into the Pro Tour in a few weeks here, big favorite has to be Pantheon, as always, right?
For sure. They've consistently performed pretty well ever since Star City stopped supporting their own team. I think it's actually one of the most interesting parts about the whole Pro Tour team thing is it having only come into the game 3 years ago, it seems like the teams were originally just a group of people who wrote for a site, and that site just wanted to sponsor them to go to the Pro Tour or, you know, to wear their stuff at the Pro Tour. And then the teams have evolved beyond that ever since Star City stopped supporting their own team and Channel Fireball scooped them all up. It kind of became just like a group of friends, like pro friends who are very good and wanted to prepare together. And then right. And then it kind of evolved into Team Ultra Pro. It seems like they offered a bit better compensation for a few players.
Yeah, it's become a bit of a sponsored thing as well. Brendan, you played at Pro Tour Fate Reforged, and unfortunately, because of your move, you were not fortunate enough to have a team to test with. What was your experience like in that context?
Well, it was my Pro Tour prep was really weird, partly because I moved, and so like I had to pack up 2/3 of my collection, and you know, keep out the cards I thought I might need, and I left. You know, I was traveling. I just pulled myself out from the group of people I played with and moved to a city where I didn't know any Magic players out here in Denver. And Denver actually has a very good Magic scene. I've been very impressed with the quality of players, but I'm like just now getting to the point where I know people here. So I was already in a weird spot because of that, and I was going to mostly have to test on Magic Online. It was also weird because the Pro Tour I qualified for was Modern, which Modern is a little, I think teams are a little less important for a Modern Pro Tour because Modern is a wide open format and there's so much value in learning to play a deck over a long period of time that, you know, teams could figure out what the metagame is. But like, I knew pretty well going in that Abzan was going to be the big deck and that aggro decks that went under it were going to be the other big decks, and the Splinter Twin is probably still a deck. Like, I had pretty much understood the metagame. Like, I didn't necessarily say, oh, Burn and Infect are going to be the ones that show up in big numbers and do well. But, like, I wasn't that surprised.
Right.
It would have been useful to be able to test more.
Right.
Play with people. And it was also weird. A team might have helped a little more because of I qualified in November, and the Modern was under the cloud of Treasure Cruise, you know, and everyone, I mean, I was certain that Treasure Cruise was going to be banned. And
right.
So I kind of didn't want to, it was hard to test, you know, I wanted to go back to decks that were good before. So it was a really weird spot, and maybe having a team would have helped more, I think more just with getting reps in and testing, because, you know, I just definitely am not as adept at playing Constructed. Limited, I feel fine.
And right.
I came out to New York and spent like 5 days and got stuck in the snow and got a couple extra days just drafting a bunch the weekend that Fate Reforged came out. And between that and getting some Magic Online reps and just being familiar with Limited, I was not worried about that. And I just played as much Constructed as I could. And it definitely would have helped to be on a real team to just bounce ideas off of. And you just have more people to have experience with everything.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it's a huge benefit from that perspective. And I think the playtesting part is really the big thing, because especially in a format as diverse as Modern, it is wide open. And the metagame is pretty well documented for sure. But I think the challenge there is being able to test various matchups and understand the interactions between various decks. And that's where having a team really comes into play, because you can't test everything in a format. It's too much, for sure.
And especially in modern, I think so much of modern testing is tweaking your sideboards. And if you haven't, you can't test the sideboards for every deck if you don't have a bunch of people. You know, you can.
Right.
That's just not possible. And if you know what's getting sideboarded in all the various decks and what cards you expect to show up, you can pick a deck that's less sideboarded against or tweak your deck to adapt to that. And I think that would be the biggest edge. And that would probably be why a lot of, you know, big teams did well at that Pro Tour.
Right. So I was going to say, like, how, because teams come in all different sizes, right? So one of the teams we had coming out of here from 20-sided store that all qualified out of New York, was Hugh and Richard and Abe, and that's a very small team, especially when you look at a team like Channel Fireball Pantheon, which has over a dozen members. So do you think there's a huge benefit to having more team members with which to test?
I think it probably has a bigger difference on a limited format or like a, say, a smaller standard format that you could figure out. Like one of the most interesting changes with the team, the lineups of the teams recently has been Ben Stark leaving Channel Fireball for Team Ultra Pro, because Channel Fireball's limited strategy in previous Pro Tours has been explained as, let Ben Stark draft on Modo for a week and he'll tell us what to do. Right. And then after that, it became, all right, we all have to now draft for a week ourselves and come to a consensus about a pick order. It used to fall directly on Ben Stark's shoulders to support his team's limited game, and then the other half of the agreement was the rest of the team would figure out the constructed format for him.
Well, I think that they're fortunate that they also have Eric Froelich, who is
right
at the same level as Ben Stark as far as being a limited master. And I think they'll be fine, because Eric and Ben have similar approaches, and the two of them working together definitely made them incredible at limited, and helped a lot of the other players, like say Paulo Vitor, who is not a limited specialist, and then guys like Brian Kibler, who is a very good limited player, but, you know, is not someone who's always focused on limited.
Right. Kibler also doesn't seem to have a lot of time to test these days, considering how much time he devotes to Hearthstone.
Yeah, I've almost stopped following him on Twitter just because everything's about Hearthstone, and I just don't Hearthstone.
Oh, man, I love following his Hearthstone stuff. But, yeah, I think if you don't, if you're not into Hearthstone, then it's really, it seems to be the game he's putting a lot of his effort into these days, for various reasons. But, so the teams, obviously, I think the benefits of playing on a team are pretty well documented. What do you guys think of players jumping ship, seemingly at every Pro Tour?
I mean, I think part of it is, just you can assemble the best players and say, hey, I'm going to have the best team. And like, clearly, if you have John Finkel and Kai Buda and Huey Jensen and Owen Turtenwald and Jacob Wilson and whoever else, all Reed Duke, all of them on a team, like, they're going to do well. But you also have to get along well, and you have to have similar expectations on how you're going to test.
And right.
So I think a lot of it is just like Sam Black, I think. He came into the Pantheon team back when it was the Star City team and they first formed it. And he, you know, created the Aristocrats deck, and he also created the blue-green like deck that was at the Block Pro Tour for Avacyn Restored.
Right.
Like proof auras. And they did really well. And that, but I think that, like, I don't think Sam Black like really fit into that team as much. And so after a while, he had some friends in Madison, Wisconsin, who he wanted to test with, so he got together with them, And then there, I've heard like Matt Sperling and Paul Reitzel are both people who work more, and Tom Martell is in this category too. And I think they didn't really have the time to commit to traveling and going to the house wherever Team Channel Fireball Pantheon would practice. And so they all just had more aligned on how they wanted to spend their time preparing, more online and emailing and then getting together for a few days right beforehand. And I think that's the big driving force. And then they just like each other. And
Right.
And like that, the team that's now Team Ultra Pro, I think is really a strong team. They did quite last Pro Tour, and I expect them to do better. And now they've got Ben Stark and Craig Wesco.
It's a really stacked team, that's for sure. With David Williams and Adrian Sullivan, there's a ton of really quality players on that team. I think you're right. You hit on a really good point, which is that this team concept is still relatively new to competitive Magic, and they really, like Dave had said, the teams had formed out of, well, who writes for my website? All right, you guys are now my team. And, now that people have kind of figured out, well, maybe I don't want to run a team if I'm Star City Games, or, this isn't the group of people I really want representing my website. Or it's people who are like, well, this doesn't fit my testing scheme. It's really just a feeling out process as things kind of fall in place. And players figure out what team structure works the best for them.
I think it also helps. Like, Magic is just such a complex game, and it's a very creative and exploratory process. And so it's good to mix up who you work with here and there. And
yeah.
I think it's, and really smart players who are really good at Magic often can get bored with a routine. Even if they enjoy it, they're like, yeah, like I could see Ben Stark saying, I love all these guys on Channel Fireball. We've done great stuff together, but we've been doing it for 3 or 4 years now. Why don't I just test with these other guys?
Yeah.
Because why not?
I think that's fine. I think we'll, over time, we'll start to see less of the constant shifting and more thoughtful shifting, perhaps. Maybe it'll seem a little less chaotic, is my hope. But in the meantime, it'll be interesting to see if there's any impact from these changes for Dragons of Tarkir Pro Tour.
I'd be really interested in seeing, some sort of journalism develop, like what you do, Rich, but also if other people could do it, where they explore with the teams afterwards, like, kind of, we don't know why they do these things a lot of the time. Maybe it's because, maybe Ultra Pro told Craig Wesco, we'll pay you X amount of dollars to come join this team. Or maybe David Williams or Sam Black or whoever was like, hey, Craig, let's test together. We've been friends for a while. Like, we just
don't
things, and we don't know.
It's something that I think Brian David Marshall does a little bit of, and Lauren Lee, who used to be the content manager at Star City Games, also covered a little bit of that that side of things. And but you're right, there's a pretty big gap there, so I'll definitely add it to my growing list of things to look into. So I think my final thought, something that I'm always interested in is the improvement of the coverage of the Pro Tour. And I think from a coverage perspective, there's a lot more going on with the teams. With the team coverage at the Pro Tours, do you think there would be a benefit to tracking the smaller teams, right? So things like when a group of three players like Hugh, Abe, and Rich get together and they're sponsored by their local gaming store, 20-sided. Or Gabe and Hunter have Gabe has a team that they put together for Konzatark here, Pro Tour, which Hunter was a member of. Do you think there'd be a benefit to getting that side of things in there into the coverage?
I think there is some benefit. I think the problem is, unless you're like gold pro or higher, it's so hard to consistently play on the pro tour. And so right. those teams, a lot of them are just, you know, groups of PTQ grinder level players, or, you know, people who spike a GP or something and get in, maybe they get enough points to get the silver and they can go to one or two pro tours and hopefully they do well enough that they can get on the train. But then often with the goal of getting picked up by an established team.
Right.
Or maybe you get enough of a, you know, collected mass of people who do well at once that you can form a team. But it just seems hard for people outside of the elite level of players to be repeat players long enough to develop a narrative.
Yeah, but I wonder if the teams themselves could supplant the narrative of the players, right? So if you have, for example, Team Draft League, I think, is a great example of this, right? If you have Team Draft League as a team and, you know, people just know that these are the people from Team Draft League, even if it's a different group of people each time, if the team itself, almost like grinder teams, right? Like you have a group of grinders who are just constantly playing PTQs. And then you say, oh, this, you know, at Pro Tour Dragons of Tarkir, these are the two guys who qualified from, you know, team middle of nowhere grinder team. I think people would be interested. And I think to an extent, the one of the problems that those players have is that it's difficult to achieve that level of qualifying through the Gold Club without having team support. an extent,
it's very
so.
True.
It's kind of a catch 22 there, where it's difficult to get to gold without a team. But the only teams that get, you know, better support are the teams that are qualifying consistently. So you kind of have to break through, or people need to start, you know, building up more, I guess, amateur teams.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that with the move to PPTQs and RPTQs, that we're going to have a small number of Pro Tour competitors when MTG Origins, when the Pro Tour Origins rolls around. And so I think that has a very high probability of increasing the focus on teams, because you're going to reduce the number of random people who spiked a PTQ out of nowhere. And I think you're just going to have generally fewer participants. So these teams are going to make up a higher percentage of the Pro Tour competitors, and it's just going to make it far easier to judge the entire tournament based on team makeup and team participation.
That's for sure. I wonder if bigger teams are the wave of the future, and amateur teams, or if teams will become even more exclusive. And smaller.
I think you're going to see a rise of smaller teams. It's been proven. The benefits of having a team has been proven. Like MTG Mint, they were already good players, but they organized themselves, came to the Modern Pro Tour with Blue Moon, and they came out of nowhere with it, and they all were very successful with it in the modern portion. And that's just an example of what you can do when you get a group of people who are good by themselves but weren't organized, and you organize them and to take on a single tournament. And I think now that is a known quantity, you're going to see a lot more of that. And I'm surprised MTG Mint lasted beyond that initial Pro Tour.
Right.
Like that just seemed like a single Pro Tour, let's test together kind of thing. But right. I think you're far more likely to see the one Pro Tour teams, you know, and I think that's a perfectly fine thing, as long as like BDM or somebody does the footwork to figure out who's who in a smaller Pro Tour.
Someone's got to do it.
I think that's only going to be a positive.
I hope so. I think the final word is that teams are great. Everyone gets better playing with the teams. Everyone enjoys the coverage more. and hopefully they'll continue to evolve in a positive way. So thanks, guys, for joining us this week and talking about Pro Tour teams. And hopefully you guys both find your way onto one again in the near future. And that's all we got for this week. In case you guys listening at home don't know, there was a PlayStation update this week. And they changed all the power buttons around. And I used to just turn this thing off by pressing the power button, but now I don't know where it is.
Hey Guardians, thanks for tuning in to the Doom Travelers podcast. You can find more at doomtravelers.com or follow at Doom Travelers on Twitter for show updates and other nonsense. Make sure to subscribe to Hipsters TV on YouTube for videos of our previous episodes, and don't forget that you can find audio-only versions of the Doom Travelers podcast on iTunes. For your host Rich Stein and Matt the Obliterator Jones, I'm David Bones McCoy. See you next time.